Well, welcome to the Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland podcast. This is Pastor Tim McLaughlin. So great to be with you again. I hope you had a great week last week. Hope things are turning out to look good this week. I just be honest with you, I love this time of the year when it comes to the weather. It's starting to cool off. The leaves are changing. It's just beautiful outside. I know some people prefer summer all the time, but I just enjoy the fall. I'll tell you what I don't enjoy, though, is the fact that it gets dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I feel like I'm ready for bed by about 5 or 6. And so I don't particularly care for the time falling back, but I do like the way the weather looks. So I'm not here to be your weatherman. I'm just here to preach the Word of God to you, and I hope that we're an inspiration to you and encourage you. So today, let's jump right into this. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 11. Peter says, "Beloved." Now, we understand first and foremost, Peter is writing this letter to a church. He's writing this letter to believers. This is not a letter that is going out to lost people. This is not a letter that is intended for salvation purposes. This is a letter intended for sanctification purposes. And so Peter's writing this letter. He says, "Beloved, I beg you." Now we're going to get back to that beg. That's really what I want to focus on. But he says, "I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." So Peter's writing this as followers of Christ. Again, he's writing to a church. Our designation as God's own possession sets us apart, sets you and I as Christians, sets you and I, if we have made Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, we have been set apart. And surely we have been set apart from the corrupt ways of this world. Surely you have made a decision to not be like the world. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we've been set apart. We need to renew our mind from the things of this world to a life lived for God. We are now part of Christ's kingdom. We are not part of this world. When you made a decision to get saved, to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you made a decision to take up residence in a new kingdom. Now you say, "Yeah, but I still have to live in this world." You live in this world, but it's not your home. I moved to Tennessee in 1995 from Michigan. All of my family currently still lives in Michigan, but Tennessee is now my physical home, but heaven is my eternal home. That is the place that I'm longing for. I know people that, if you've got the money to do so, that they buy houses and things like that down in Florida or something like that. And what happens is while they're working, they'll go down to Florida, maybe use that for a vacation home. But then when they get to a place of retirement, they'll actually move there and sell their house, up north or whatever it may be. Not everybody can do that, but every one of us can make a decision to make Jesus Lord of our lives. And when we do that, we understand that then we become residents of heaven. The Bible tells us in John 14 that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go, there you may be also." So he's telling us, "Hey, listen, I'm going, I'm preparing, you're going to come there also if you've made the decision to make me Lord of your life." Jesus said this in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So again, Jesus is saying, "Listen, I'm living on this earth, but this is not where I'm going to spend eternity. My eternity is in heaven." So again, as Peter is writing, he says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, you may call yourself Tennesseans, you may call yourself from Ohio or Kentucky or Michigan or whatever the case may be, but the reality is when you get born again, now you're Christians and now you're destined for the kingdom of heaven. So Peter says, listen, you beloved, you people in the church, you people that are born again, you people that are saved and being sanctified, I beg you, as sojourners, as visitors, as people that are here temporary, as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts and fleshly desires. So we are no longer, again, of this world, and we need to understand that we need to renew our mind and quit thinking the way the world thinks, the way the society thinks. We need to quit focusing on the deception and the destructive influences around us in this society. We live in this country, but we're not of it. We live in this world, but we're not of it. We don't have to fall prey to all the sinfulness of this world. We can make a decision as a child of God to live a better way. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11:16, it says, but now they desire better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. He has prepared a city for those who have made a decision to transfer their citizenship from this world to heaven. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:20-21, says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So again, therefore, we must not conform to the world's patterns. We need to conform ourselves, our thoughts, our mind, our will, our emotions to heavenly things. That doesn't happen overnight, but it's a process. It's something that takes place as we continue to study his word and do the things that he's called us to do. As Christians, as new creatures in Christ, our life should stand out in a positive way from the rest of the world. Okay? We need to stand out. We need to be different. So Peter here saying, I beg you, I beg you. Now, I read you Romans 12:2, but Romans 12:1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. So Paul says, I beseech you, which is the same root word as beg. Paul says, I plead with you that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice. If you go back and you look in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at what Jesus taught about the most, what Jesus really emphasized more than anything else is how we need to die to self. We need to pick up our cross and follow him. We need to submit ourselves to him. We need to understand that we no longer live for the things of the world, but we die to this world and this fleshly desires that this world has to offer so that we can live for him. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he says, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, now, Paul was still living here on the earth, but he said, the life that I now live, the life that I live in currently, the life that I'm wanting to live right now, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I'm not living in Damascus. I'm not living in Galatia. I'm not living in Jerusalem. I'm living in Christ. Now, I may lay my head down in these places. I may have a house or a tent where I receive mail in these places, but I'm living in Christ. My old man is dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Paul says, I live in Christ. Peter says, as sojourners or pilgrims, in other words, you're just visiting. You may be visiting for 70, 80, 90, 100 years, but you're going to spend eternity. You will spend more time in your eternal home than you do in your earthly home. So you are no longer citizens. We may have a passport or a driver's license that says that we're Americans and we live in this area, but our heart has been changed. Our mind has been renewed, and now we take up residence in heavenly places. So Peter says, again, church, Christians, followers of Christ, you visitors of this world that have now changed residence to live in Christ, abstain from fleshly lusts. Abstain from these fleshly lusts. What are these fleshly lusts? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells us what some of these fleshly lusts are. He tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. He says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here we got Paul. Paul also is writing to the church at Galatia. But he tells them, he says, these fleshly desires, these things that the world does, adultery, fornication, all these things that I read to you, you have to abstain from those things. You need to die to those things, because if you continue to practice those things, you will not inherit your eternal home, the kingdom of heaven. Listen, I know people that sit there and they believe in once saved, always saved. They believe because they got saved or prayed a prayer at 7 or at 12 or whatever the case was, or got baptized in their local church, but now all of a sudden they're living worldly ways. They're committing adultery, they're fornicating, they're doing drugs and alcohol, they're doing all these things that they think, well, because of the decision that I made when I was 7 or 8 and that prayer and that water, that I'm good. But that's not the deal. Paul says, if you're practicing these things, these fleshly desires, you will not inherit your heavenly home. So you are still, you may apply for your passport, you may have made a decision that this is what you want to do, but there has to be transformation, there has to be change, there has to be death to these earthly desires and a greater desire to live for the things of God. So Paul saying, I beseech you that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice. I urge you, I beg with you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I plead with you that you get away from these fleshly desires, that you quit practicing these things. Peter says, I beg you to abstain, to get away from. When we think of abstain, many people, when you think of abstaining, it means to not do. Abstain from sex outside of marriage. Abstain from sexual desires. He says, I urge you to abstain from fleshly lust. Your flesh, we want to give the devil credit for things that our flesh is longing for. We need to put our flesh into subjection. That's why fasting is so important, because when we fast, we're taking our flesh and we're putting our flesh into subjection to our spirit, and our spirit man becomes more sensitive. We're no longer depending on food, we're depending on God to give us strength. So when we fast, we're taking our fleshly man and we're saying, listen, my spirit man is in control. Not my mind, my will, and my emotions, but my spirit man, which is now in Christ, is in control. So we need to understand that we need to do that in every part of our lives. We need to take our soul, our mind, will, our emotions, the things that we think about, the things that make our flesh feel good, these emotions that we have that try to dictate the way that we live. And we need to understand that now we need to live in Christ. So again, Peter says, I beg you to abstain from these things which wars against your soul. These things are warring against you on a regular basis. He didn't say it's the devil that's warring against you. We understand that there's a real devil. We understand that there's hell, that there's demonic activity. We get that. But so many people want to blame so much of their issues on the devil, when the reality is it is our flesh. Now I'm going to pause just for a second right here, and I'm going to let you know that you can call our office or you can visit us or go online. And I just we just started doing these flash drives. where I've put several of my series, my sermon series on these flash drives. Now, obviously, if you're listening to these podcasts, you may be able to go back in some of these podcasts, and I may have taught on some of these things, but I specifically started doing these teachings, and we put them on flash drives that you can now purchase. I think for like $15 donation, you can purchase this flash drive. And I've got a series on there. It's a 12-part series about not giving the devil the satisfaction. Quit giving the devil credit for things that are happening in your life and understand and take responsibility that it's your flesh. And when you crucify the flesh, when you deny the flesh and you begin to live in the spirit, you no longer have to worry about the devil, because you begin to live for God. Don't practice these things that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5. Instead, begin to practice the things of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the way that we need to begin to live. That is the sanctification process. So Peter says, listen, you church, you beloved, you born-again believers, I'm begging with you, I'm pleading with you. If you are truly saved, you're just visiting in this earth, begin to abstain from fleshly lusts which are warring against you. Then he says this, have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Now, he's talking about Gentiles. He's talking about unbelievers. Today, we would talk about those that look at us that may not believe. Do you understand? The problem is this. Many people don't want to go to church, and many people want to talk down about Christians because of the way Christians act. People want to say, well, I'm a Christian, but we see them walking out of rated R movies. We see them bellied up to the bar. We see them cursing more than everybody else. We see a bunch of people that want to pass judgment on certain people, but yet they're living a life that does not bear fruit of a child of God. And you wonder why people aren't going to the local church. Many times the local church looks no different than a rock concert or a worldly venue. The church ought to look different, not only the building, but the people. The people ought to look different. Christian people shouldn't be walking around. Christian women should not be walking around with their breasts hanging out or their butts hanging out. Christian men should not be walking around with big old beer bellies and getting your body all tattooed up and looking like the world. We should be set apart. We should be different. I'm not talking about your old man. You can't erase tattoos, but do you need to add to them? We should not be, well, I just drink a little bit of wine. Listen, we need to abstain from these things. I've said this several times. If I do run Adult and Teen Challenge the Upper Cumberland. People know me. I'm here to help people that struggle with life-controlling issues to find freedom in Christ, to be transformed and no longer be a drunkard, no longer be a drug addict. I'm teaching them to live a different life. So what if I bring some lady into this program and I tell her she needs to change? So she goes through this 14-month program. She's been delivered. She's been saved. She's been set free. She's been filled with the Holy Ghost. Then she graduates, and one night she goes walking into Logan's, and I'm sitting at Logan's, and I'm belly up to the bar watching a football game with my hand wrapped around a Bud Light. And it may be only one beer that I've drank, but she comes walking in, her and her family come walking in to get a steak, and she looks over and she sees me sitting at the bar with my hand wrapped around this beer bottle. She doesn't know if I've drank one or six, but it doesn't really matter, because what she says is this, well, if Pastor Tim can drink, then it's okay for me to drink. And then what happened was, is she goes back to her old lifestyle. Number one, I got to understand, I'm going to be accountable for that when I stand before the Lord. Number two, what I've done is I've told her that I can live one way, but she has to live another. And we wonder again why people won't go into the church. So Peter is saying this, I beg you, flee from these fleshly lusts. Instead, have your conduct honorable. That's the problem right now. Many in the church are not living honorable lives in front of the rest of the world. When we speak to evildoers, we need to make sure that our conduct, our works, everything that we do glorifies God. Peter says it this way, that when we speak against evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. That our works glorify God. Colossians 3:23 says that everything that we do in word and in deed would be pleasing to God. We do it unto God, not as unto man. So how are you living your life? As a child of God, are you living a life that is fleeing from fleshly lust? Are you living a life that is pleasing to everybody else? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16, he says, you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Listen, you are the light. Your whole purpose in life may be a light to your lost family, to be a light to that lost person that you work next to at the factory. Yours may be when you're out in the mall and you're buying clothes that some lost person is sitting there looking to see what you're getting ready to buy. Are we living differently than the world? Peter says, I beg you. Paul says, I beseech you. Pastor Tim's saying this morning, listen, examine your life in light of the Word of God. Examine your life in light of your decision to follow Christ. Make the decision to abstain from fleshly lust, these things that will war against your soul and cause you to stumble. James says that if we will resist the devil, he will flee from us. But can you resist your flesh and take it into subjection? That needs to be what we do, saints. We need to make change. We need to make transformation. We need to be different than the rest of the world, so that when others look at us, that they would see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, I pray today, I beg you today, that you would make some decisions in your life. First and foremost, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would make a decision today to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite Him to come into your heart and be Lord of your life. And then begin the process of sanctification. But for those of you that have already prayed, those of you that believe that you're born again, those of you that have prayed that prayer, and you believe that you're a child of God, then I'm asking you, examine your own heart. It's not for me to judge. I judge your fruit as a child of God. That's what we're supposed to do, is judge each other's fruit. What I'm here to tell you is this. Judge yourself. Paul said that. He said, if we judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. So ask yourself, am I abstaining from fleshly lusts? Am I different than the world? Have I made a decision to not be a drunkard, to not fornicate, to not commit adultery, to not live an unclean or lewd life? Listen, we shouldn't be going and seeing movies that we tell others not to do. We shouldn't be talking in ways that we tell other people not to talk. We shouldn't be drinking things and smoking things that we tell other people they shouldn't do. Listen, we need to take our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of God. So it doesn't just have to do with alcohol and drugs. How much food do you eat? What does your temple look like? Are you living an unhealthy lifestyle? Live a life that is pleasing to God, and live a life that would draw other people to ask you, hey, I notice you're different. What's different about you? Tell me why you stay in shape. Tell me why you don't drink certain things. Tell me why you don't smoke. Tell me why you don't cuss. Tell me. And then you'll have an opportunity to witness to these people and share your faith, that they too would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you again for this opportunity to share in these podcasts. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one today. Touch them, Father God. May this sermon, this podcast, encourage them and minister to their hearts, that they too would make a decision to abstain from fleshly lust and to live a life pleasing to you in all that they do. Thank you again for all that you're doing in us, through us, and with us. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you again so much for listening. Again, if we can be of any help to you, pray for you, or anything else, please reach us at Facebook at Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland. Find us on the web at teenchallengeuc.org, or just call us 888-688-0470. God bless. Have a great week.